Hello, I'm Donna Robinson, a lawyer with the Arts Law Centre of Australia. This podcast is produced by Arts Law in partnership with DesArt, the peak body for Central Australian Aboriginal Arts Centres. This podcast is part of a series of podcasts for arts centres and for the broader visual arts community, where we discuss the legal issues that regularly impact arts centres, artists and arts organisations. In this episode, we're talking about the legal issues to think about when setting up an online gallery on the arts centres or the arts organisation's own website, or consigning the works to a third-party online gallery. Today, we'll be talking to Dr. Krishona Schmidt, manager of the Ikunji Arts Centre at Hart's Bluff in the Northern Territory. We'll also be speaking to Jane Supert, a senior executive lawyer with the Australian Government Solicitor and director of their Sydney office. Online galleries and stores are a tremendous way for the public and the artists to interact with each other and for collectors to view the artworks. The success of the online art fairs such as Darwin Aboriginal Art Fair and Desert Mob Marketplace are testament to this. While there is nothing like seeing a work in the flesh and looking at all the beautiful works in an exhibition, when we can't do that, viewing the works online is the best alternative. If you already have an agreement in place between you and the artist, or if you are the artist and have received a proposed agreement from an online gallery, then you should check that agreement to make sure it covers the situation you're contemplating. That is, the commercial arrangement you're planning on between the two of you. Things to look out for are to make sure you're authorised to promote the images of the work online. What approvals does the artist need to give for you to be able to take and use an image of their artwork? Is the payment arrangement you have with the artist under the agreement between you suitable for this approach? Are any of the artists deceased? If they are, you'll need to approach the executor of the estate or the beneficiaries to obtain the necessary permissions. Make sure you get permission from the right people to exhibit and sell the works. Commonly, the artist is the copyright owner, but sometimes they may have transferred their copyright rights to another, either by assignment or by a license. A good template contract between you and the other party should have all of these terms and conditions in it. So welcome, Krishona. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So how long have you been involved in exhibiting work online and operating with an online store on the Arts Centre's website?
When I started in 2012, we had a website that was supposedly selling works online, but, yeah, it was incredibly difficult to update the stock that was on the website shown and match it with what was actually here in stock. So it didn't match at all. So we hired someone to develop a new website with me, and that took about a year and a half, actually. And we launched it in 2014, and it's been incredibly successful. So, you know, bit by bit we build it up, but the shop works really well. We now get, you know, some weeks up to 100 orders a week. So it is working for us.
So a lot of the work that you needed to do to begin with was technical, really, wasn't it? That year and a half to set up the website. And then once the store and the merchandise and the paintings were available for sale, it all just ran smoothly after that, did it?
No. So it's not just technical, the setup. It was also about design and the feel of the website, the navigation, the how the different parts of the website talk to each other.
Right.
That was really quite important too. And then the next step, trialing it as well, what the things that didn't work. And possibly for about 2 or 3 years, it kind of plotted along, and, online sales didn't pick up that much. But then there was a big shift in the last 2-3 years, and web sales have gone through the roof. So we're actually now in a stage of revamping everything again. Other art centres opt to then get a completely new website. I'm not that person. I just like to improve on what we have rather than reinventing the wheel every time.
So do you think the change over the last 2 or 3 years has been across the whole sector, or do you think it's specifically your art centre, that word of mouth or just, you know, increasing promotion or access to your artworks?
No, I think it's really to do with our social media presence and I don't know how much other art centres are pushing it, but that we link everything in our social media directly to our website.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah, social media really, it's really ingrained in our ways of communicating now, isn't it, even on a commercial level?
I think, yeah, it's more than word of mouth nowadays, and it certainly works better than any kind of other ad.
Right. And so what, I mean, you've already talked a bit about your experience with displaying and selling artworks on the Art Centre website. What about on other websites or online art fairs?
So we've worked, for example, with Blue Thumb Art over the years. We've been invited by many other portals like Art Lovers Online, and recently, especially for fabric, different portals. It depends on, for us, of course, because if we display everything, we do all the background work, we need to ensure that we get a benefit from it. And a lot of those other portals take up to 40% commission. So if this commission is that high, then, and I do all the work that normally a gallery would do, I kind of question why we'd engage with them instead of a gallery. Yeah, so it's, you know, I gauge how much percentage we give and then see whether it's worth our while. With the art fairs that we've participated in, they're all done with 100% benefit back to the art centre. So it's very different to all those other portals that work at 24/7, 365 days a year.
Well, the art fairs, or some of them, have been very successful, haven't they? DAF and the Desert Mob art fairs in particular.
Yes, they have. Yeah, they have. They've been, especially DAF has been incredibly successful for us. And it's sort of putting the question out there whether those art fairs need to be online anyway, just, you know, irrespective of COVID. And then whether once, you know, the concerns around COVID are changing, whether there be two platforms.
That's a good idea. And also with climate change, people are trying to reduce their footprint. So I suppose it's also a way of discouraging people from flying unnecessarily, because, you know, most of the attendees would need to fly in, wouldn't they, to
right, yeah.
National Art Fairs.
Especially to Alice Springs, yeah.
Yeah, and so what has been your observation that the artists think of their works being sold online?
I think they like the fact that it doesn't have to go to a gallery, that it's immediate, that we get a lot of immediate responses from customers, that, you know, they might either post this on social media when they hang it up or when they receive the work, or they send us direct feedback to our email. So that kind of interaction we wouldn't have had prior. It was always go back to the gallery. So there's much more direct connection to the customer that has ever existed before.
Right. And have you set it up so that Sam easily speaks to your online sales, or do you need to manually record any online sales across onto Sam?
The only thing that our website does that's really easy is that it uploads directly from Sam all the images and the artworks that are available, that we choose as available. But the all the sales need to be recorded manually, all the shipping tracking and so on, all needs to be recorded manually. So it's quite laborious at the back end of a sale.
Right, yep. Now, what about if an artist has passed away? Does this approach continue to work well for you, even in those circumstances?
Well, I'm only allowed to sell works by a deceased artist online or anywhere if the family agrees to it. So prior to being able to put anything up online, I have to have negotiations with the family.
So do you actually take the artworks down when someone passes away?
Yeah, if the family wants that, and then also I take the image of the artist down, so there's no record of their faces anymore if the family wants that. So it's all a negotiation with the families.
Yes, and often if people have done a will, they record their wishes in their will too.
Well, we're actually doing it today with an estate, because it wasn't recorded in the will whether the artist wanted their images to be taken down or to be sold further, and the family has had quite some concerns. So we're setting up a legal agreement between the Art Centre and the artist's beneficiaries to ensure that they know how everything works and that it's all correct.
Great. Well, let us know if we can help, if you want us to look at the agreement or anything like that.
Well, we've actually got one of yours.
Jane Supert, a senior executive lawyer with the Australian Government Solicitor and director of their Sydney office. Jane, what kind of things should one look out for when dealing with a third-party online gallery and setting up the contractual arrangements between them?
Yeah, so I think there are two things to think about there. The first is that in the same way that you would closely review your contract with a physical gallery and look to make sure that the commercial terms were satisfactory and that you were happy with those terms, you need to do the same thing where you're using an online gallery and be happy that commercially you're satisfied with what you're getting. And I think you mentioned before, you know, talking to others, and I think often there's not a lot of transparency around gallery terms. So I think it's worth, you know, often sort of sharing notes with other artists and finding out, you know, what the good commercial terms are. So that's the first thing to think about. And the second thing is thinking about how the online gallery itself protects the cybersecurity. So what cybersecurity measures does it have in place? So all the things that we've just talked about, really, is the gallery following those best practices as well in terms of protecting the data that it holds? Because remember, by giving your artwork to the gallery, it will be holding important data that you've given to it. And I think the last thing is thinking about, and this should be covered in your contract, but the last thing is thinking about the information you want back from the gallery about your artwork, because it's valuable to find out who's buying it, how much they're paying, obviously, all of these things. You want transparency about all of those factors. And so including that in your contract and making sure that you're getting the data back from the gallery that you need in order to know, you know, how you're travelling and how your artwork is travelling with the gallery.
So what kinds of third parties do you have contracts with involving promoting artworks online?
It was really Blue Thumb Art. Art Arc is another company that takes our work on consignment and they only sell online. And with the others that we've been approached by, so we get a lot of those queries as well, people wanting us to sign up because, of course, they get a commission out of it. But because what's been happening is that our work basically sells straight away, most of the time now, even if it's a work in progress off the social media post, I don't even have time to post it anywhere else.
What about transport? Do you find that because you're selling more works online that you need a lot more sort of transport arrangements? Or I suppose not, because you had to transport the works to the gallery in the past. Now you're just sending them straight to the purchaser.
Yes, but it actually means that instead of sending one roll with 15 paintings, we're sending 15 rolls.
It
means that we end up going almost on a weekly basis into Alice Springs now to deliver mail. And with COVID, the post office is closed now on Saturdays. So it's really only Monday to Friday service. And it makes it, of course, even harder now with rains, like we've had torrential rains in order to get to town. Yeah. And a lot of those parcels don't fit into the mail plane, so they wouldn't even accept them in the mailbag.
There's always something, isn't there? What about insurance? Did you need to contact your insurer to make sure that they covered you for e-commerce?
So we didn't get e-commerce insurance, but we did get extra freight insurance to cover us for all the extra